Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us. We're broadcasting this afternoon from the Southern Bank Corps Studios at Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob, Kelly, and Luke. Opening segment of the show sponsored every day by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Great place for dinner tonight if you want to take your family somewhere nice. Great place to cater your next Golden Eagle baseball weekend. Dickie's does a great job, and we know that you will be happy. All right, Ben Milam is going to be reporting on the conference tournament, basketball tournament, taking place in Pensacola a little later. We're also going to hear from Lady Eagle Morgan Sieper as she's about to wrap up her freshman year of play. But first, we want to talk baseball, and of course, we want to get Travis Creel, assistant baseball coach, on the show. He's been the last couple of Wednesdays, going to be joining us a lot this year on Wednesdays. And Coach, a kind of a tale of two tales last night. The Golden Eagles get out to a 4-0 lead, leading 4-2 when the rain comes. Hour-long delay, and then everything, all the momentum changed. Those rain delays are tough to overcome. But give us your thoughts and impressions about the night overall, Coach.
Yeah, you know, kind of the story of our season so far, just kind of Declan Hyde. It's a little inconsistent, you know. We come out of the gates and then we're crushing baseballs and you know, take a 4-0 lead, and then I think the next three innings or so we really landed on some balls hard and didn't get any results, and then maybe we're a little too result oriented, and instead of those hits falling, we kind of see those zeros hanging up, and it kind of adds up. And yeah, just, you know, we had runners on base a lot, and unfortunately couldn't get the big hit.
You know, that's oftentimes, and I certainly don't need to tell you about college baseball, but the difference in winning and losing really close games is leaving people on base, and that continues to plague the guys a little bit, Coach. How do you go about addressing that, or is there anything you really can do?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things you can do. You know, we're trying to put guys in more difficult situations in practice. You know, most of the guys in the lineup have never been in those situations before, unfortunately. And, you know, experience is huge. Being able to slow the game down mentally, being able to control your body whenever your mind and heart are racing is something that is definitely has to be taught and learned. And believe me, we're getting after trying to get better every day. And, you know, you look at our 8 wins, and we got a lot of those hits. We got a lot of big hits. We got a lot of 2-out RBIs. And you look at our 5 losses, not so much. So, you know, it's a complex game, but when you look at it in its simplest form, you get runners on base, which we've pretty much done all year, and we get the big hit, we're successful in winning baseball games, and we don't, we're not.
And many times when you need that hit this year, it seems like it's a freshman or a first-year player that's walking up to the plate, Coach.
Yeah, you're right, and it's part of it, but, you know, even some old guys at times have had those situations as well, And shoot, man, I mean, yesterday, twice, we runners in scoring position, we land on balls, and they make great plays in the outfield, and that's baseball, too. But we just got to keep preaching to our guys, be tougher mentally, and, you know, keep growing and growing, which I think there's some serious growth happening. I really believe that. I think we're so close to busting through, and I think our guys believe that, too. So, you know, I think once we start to get a couple, you know, I think it's very contagious, and, you know, we can start doing it more on a regular basis.
All right, Luke, you were there with me last night. Your observations and your questions for Coach Creel.
Coach Creel, I just asked Oz Monday just in passing, and he acknowledged it. But talk more about the emphasis in the offseason, for your guys to be more patient. You guys have drawn more walks to this point than you did in the last couple years, and the emphasis of that, and kind of the trade off with sometimes when you're more patient, you miss pitches that you could be aggressive on, and the balance of all that.
100%, Luke. It's a fine line, man. You know, what we stressed for 5 years now since I've been here, and probably before that with Coach Barry, is really trying to keep that strikeout to walk ratio as close to 1-to-1 as possible, and that's what we've done, man. We've done a really good job of it, and like you said, we're getting runners on base, and we had those chances, and maybe sometimes when we get those chances, we're a little too passive at the plate. So that's something we're certainly preaching, is know when to take your shot, man. Know when to pull that driver out of the bag, know when to pull the pitching wedge out of the bag. And right now I think we got some young guys that are a little indecisive on when to do what, and something we're hammering home to them every day at practice. And again, like I told Bob, I think these game reps are going to make us grow. You certainly see some growth with some younger players, and we just got to keep growing, man. We got to keep building and keep working, and I promise you we're going to keep working. And, you know, I think once we finally bust through, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we talked to Oz as well, but you being the hitting coach, I mean, there is a lot more flexibility this year with being open to changing the lineup. Sometimes we see guys in the two hole and then they're in the six hole and flip flop. And, you know, do you welcome that as a hitting coach? And is that sometimes matchup oriented?
Yeah, I think it matchups a lot for us this year. We came into the year, you know, sometimes it's a good thing to have depth and have options. But oftentimes, I mean, you look at our team last year, you know, Coach Barry would carve and copy that lineup because we had nine guys who were better than everybody else, you know. So at the same time where we're depth and matchups is great, you also like some guys to separate themselves and win jobs and lock up jobs, kind of like Seth Smith's done, you know, just solidify themselves in that lineup. But, yeah, you know, I think a lot of the change is – competitions were going on, a lot of the changes due to matchups, but also I think a lot of the changing, unfortunately, is because some guys haven't locked down that job yet.
And when you talk about positions locking down positions, it would seem to me, Coach, and I'm not, you know, not talking about any one particular player, but the first base situation and the catching situation. You know, at first base, that's usually a position where you want to have that long knocker. The guy isn't necessarily in there for his glove, but for his bat.
Right.
And the catching situation, can you kind of update us as to what you expect out of both of those positions offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, man. I think the other seven spots are playing pretty good baseball right now. At first base, you know, Russo had some really good moments a couple weeks ago and obviously has not had the best last four or five games for him. You know, we got him over there. We got Braden Luke, who came off the bench last night and swung a, you know, hit a really good ball to the backside gap that made a nice play on. We also have Davis Gillespie getting work over there every day as well, which huge upside for him at the plate. And to get him going would be huge because it's real, real power. So, yeah, I think all three of those guys are, you know, these next two practices for them are going to be huge and what Oz decides to roll out there. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those three get the nod on Friday night. And, yeah, catching, you know, we knew catching. We lost two 23-year-olds. And we have, you know, we knew there was going to be some growth there and some learning curves for sure. And, you know, Lawson is such a competitor and maybe he wants it a little too much and tries a little too hard. And then you don't slow the game down quite as much. You kind of lose that laser-like focus when you're just trying to – you want it so bad and you're so jumpy and excited. But you just got to learn to slow the game down, man. And then Tucker, you know, I think Tucker brings something defensively because he's got a bazooka. Obviously, we're giving up more stolen bases than we'd like right now. Teams are running on us pretty good. And, you know, I think Oz will tell you that that's on the pitchers and the catchers. So, I think Tucker, you know, could definitely see more action for sure because of that arm. And then first base, I think these, like I said, I think these next two practices are huge.
And, Coach Creel, I want to underline, too, to listeners who might not be familiar with necessarily how all college sports works, but it is not picking on, again, any players. Look, it's everything at this level is what have you done for me lately? Right, and the guys, I want people to understand, they understand that. The players understand that, and really, if you ask them, I don't think they would have it any other way. Do you?
No doubt. And this is big boy baseball, man. And you can go to some places, maybe the expectations aren't as high, and you know, the it's a little easier to play at. But I think as a competitor, you want to play at a place like Southern Miss. You want to coach at a place like Southern Miss, where the expectations are high, and you are held to a standard, and you do have great competition behind you, and you do have good players on the bench. So, yeah, no, I think you're spot on, Kelly. I think, you know, Matt will tell you as well as anybody that, you know, he knows he needs to play better if he wants to stay in this lineup and help this team win.
All right, Coach Grill, I'm sorry, real quick. Explain to our fans how good that ball that Billy Butler hit in the first inning last night. It's hard to hit it out of that ballpark.
Yeah, I think that's the first one I've ever seen over the center field wall. And, you know, I played probably 10 games there and coached probably 10 more. I think that's the first homer to center I've ever seen. And with a breaking ball, too, which probably makes it even a little more impressive as well.
Yeah, we have a beautiful picture of it, too. Incredible picture. You can see the ball up in the air. Really cool. Just a few seconds left, Coach, but I just want to clarify something I heard you say. There is some possibility that we could see Gillespie play some first base.
Yeah, I know we've been working him over there for several weeks now, and that's the big kicker, guys, is having someone we trust, to dominate the routine defensive play over there. That's nothing I haven't told these guys as well. So, yes, we want as many hitters as we can get in there, but we also have to dominate routine plays at Division I level to win.
All right, Coach, great conversation. Look forward to having you back on the show next week. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Travis Creel, everybody. 12-0 Louisiana Tech up next, so it gets a lot easier.
Yeah, see, you throw the blanket over seven games, and it doesn't matter. Oh, they're all tough.
Oh, man. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, I want to thank baseball coach Travis Creel, who's agreed to join us every Wednesday for the next few weeks, and we'll be talking midweek baseball with Coach Creel. And I look forward to that. The Golden Eagles, of course, on the road this weekend down in Ruston with a 12-0 Louisiana Technical School matchup. We'll look forward to that. All right, ladies basketball, they're tipping off at 5 o'clock tonight. They'll be playing Coastal Carolina. We're about to hear from Ben Milam, who has been involved in Sun Belt basketball all year. But first, one of the players will be on the floor today and has had a great freshman year, really made a splash for a true freshman, is Morgan Sieper. Had a great conversation with her earlier this week. Here's how it went. All right, Morgan Sieper on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Morgan, we talked at the first of the year. I don't know if you remember that, but when you first got here, now you're toward the end of your first collegiate basketball season. Describe the experience.
It's been a great experience for me. It's been such a learning process, but I've really enjoyed it. And now that we're towards the end, you know, kind of looking back on just how much I've grown and how much I've gotten close with these girls and learned from them, I'm just, it couldn't have worked out any better.
Well, you know, it's unusual for a true freshman to get the playing time you're getting, starting a lot of games on a really competitive basketball team. I got the impression, though, when I first talked to you, that doesn't come as a big surprise to you. You anticipated playing.
I mean, my goal coming into this team was to, you know, play about 15, 20 minutes a game. I never anticipated that I was going to start. I remember when Coach T first told me that, I almost looked at him like he was crazy. I'm sure he remembers that. But, you know, I'm just very grateful they've given me, you know, a space and opportunity to play at this level this early, because, I mean, I think you can tell just this season the experience I'm getting, and I'm starting to feel more comfortable. And to be able to feel like that as a freshman, it's definitely due to the coaches just allowing me to put me out there in the fire and just kind of let me learn on my own.
And got to be a tremendous jump for next year to have had so much floor time this year.
I mean, yeah, I think next year it'll definitely help me. It'll put me in a position that, you know, I didn't think I was going to be in. I thought I was going to have to kind of, you know, wait a year, wait under all these veterans that are here. But, you know, I'm just very grateful that I got the opportunity to play, and just I try to do the most with it that I can.
All right, two games left and then postseason play. What do you sense is the vibe on the team, and, you know, what seems to be the attitude going into this last road trip?
I mean, the attitude is definitely, like, playoff play is already here. We're treating these last two games like we have to win them because they're so important for our seeding. And I think we're peaking at the right time. That's what a lot of coaches have said, and I really agree. I think we're starting to click on offense and on defense, and I think that we have a really good shot to make a run in the tournament and maybe even make it to the NCAA tournament, which would be – it would be amazing if we could do that, especially being a freshman.
All right, life your first year in South Mississippi has been, you fill in the blanks.
I'm trying to think of a really good word. It's been accepting. I feel like that's the best word. I mean, so many people I've met here, adults, people in my classes, everybody here has just been accepted me with open arms. And I mean, I have so many people I go eat dinner with and hang out with, and I just feel like people in Hattiesburg are just so welcoming. And you know, to accept somebody from Tampa, to have this many connections that I have now, I never would have anticipated it, and I'm very glad that I chose the school.
So you're happy here and looking forward to the future?
Yes, sir, I'm very happy here.
We're happy to have you. Good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
All right, that's Morgan Sieper. And if you're listening to us online, you haven't had an interruption, but if you hear somebody say the program has been off there, there's a sun fade going on right now. And even Kelly Center or Ben Milam can do nothing about sun fades. I don't know. Maybe you can, Ben. Can you erase the sun fade from our issue here?
I'm working on it, Bob. I haven't come up with a solution yet, but I'll let you know what I do.
Well, you let me know. Ben Milam, of course, is a friend of ours, and he is now the voice of the Lady Warhawks basketball team at Louisiana Monroe. Congratulations to that. I made no bones about it when you were around us. I thought you were really talented and destined for big things in play-by-play. I'm happy to see that you got that gig.
Well, I appreciate it, Bob, and I appreciate the opportunities that you gave me. Certainly was part of leading into this opportunity with ULM, and a lot of stuff just kind of fell in the right place, and I'm in a great situation.
A good deal. All right. You know a lot about basketball in the Sun Belt. You've been, obviously, been doing the play-by-play all year for Louisiana Monroe. Kind of evaluate this matchup, if you can, between Coastal and Southern Miss. Going to take place at 5 o'clock. I know you've seen Southern Miss. I would assume you've seen Coastal. And how do you break that one down, Ben?
Yeah, well, I think you look at Southern Miss specifically, I think they're one of those teams, and I would certainly include ULM in this conversation, that are, you know, kind of on the fringe part of the conversation of one of those teams that can beat anyone in this field. I mean, Southern Miss, I think winners of 8 of their last 10 Sun Belt games, and the way Dom Davis is playing, Aaliyah Grayson playing really good basketball. I think, you know, if they're playing up to their potential defensive-wise and the pieces kind of fall into place offensively, I don't think there's anyone they can't beat. But on the, you know, the other side of that coin, there's nobody you play in this tournament that can't beat you. I think Southern Miss beat Coastal Carolina by double digits when they played once before. But, you know, I saw Coastal and Monroe against ULM, and they really had a great chance to beat us at home, and that was in the middle of really our best stretch of basketball. You know, Coastal Carolina, their best scorer, D.A. Richardson, she can shoot it. She can, you know, drive to the basket. She can kind of score from all three levels. And so if you aren't on your P's and Q's, you are liable to have an early exit from this tournament. It doesn't really matter who you're playing. But Coastal Carolina is certainly a team, if they shoot well from distance, they can really, really give you some problems. And I would imagine for Coach McNellis and her staff, it's going to be one of the big emphases is to kind of run Coastal off the three-point line and make them go to the basket.
All right, Luke?
Yeah, Ben, Coach McNellis told us yesterday, you know, the five for Coastal, not a traditional five because she can shoot. And so, you know, that's going to be a decision. You know, familiar with the Southern Miss roster as well, and I just keep bringing this back up because I think Southern Miss fans have missed what type of season Dom Davis has had. And she's a even with, we found out when yesterday that she's got a broken finger. I mean, Coach McMillan told us that. It's just remarkable what kind of run she's had, and she's a girl that could, you know, carry a team to victory in a tournament like this.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, Dom is, you know, near the top of the list of, I would say, a long list of really, really high-quality guard play in this league. You know, it feels like just about everyone, I mentioned the Asia Richardson, for Coastal, everyone has a really good scorer that can kind of flip a basketball game on its head. And, I mean, you've obviously seen that from Dom this year. And, you know, I think one of the big things, just kind of following from a distance of what Southern Miss has done these last 3 or 4 weeks, because, you know, they were tied with ULM in the standings, so we were kind of keeping track of them, of what they were doing, of, you know, how the seedings were going to fall. But, you know, as good as Dom Davis has been, those around her, I think, have really, really taken a step forward, and that's kind of how they've gotten out of that little funk they were in over the holiday stretch. It's not just Dom Davis. You know, obviously she's really great at sharing the basketball, and so those around her have to be really good for all those cylinders to be firing. And, I mentioned Malia Grayson. I think Asia Leak behind Malia Grayson has come in and played some really, really strong minutes. Lonnie Cornfield, I think, has been really steady. That's, you know, I think another long list for Coach McNellis of those that have been good around Davis. And obviously part of what makes Dom so good is she makes those better around her.
When you look at the bracket here, Louisiana Monroe getting ready to play Georgia Southern, but there's a potential that game that started at 11 between Appalachian State and Georgia State may be going overtime. There's a one-point differential with only 5 seconds left in the game. But you've got Monroe on the top side of that bracket, Ben. The Southern Miss ladies are on the bottom side of that bracket, which we thought it was a pretty good draw for the Lady Eagles to fall into that sixth spot. Good place for Monroe, too, except you'd have to run into Marshall at some point before getting to the title game. That's not good.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I think in a way it doesn't really matter that much which side of the bracket you're on, because you're going to have to beat. The three games you're going to have to win, you know, if you have the double bye, four games, if you're not in that double bye spot, and I guess five games if you're coming out of the play-in game, you're going to have to beat really, really good teams again that are all capable of beating you. Marshall kind of lost the head scratcher. James Madison lost by double digits there. And, you know, of course, that's their only conference loss of the season. But, you know, in a way, I think you look at that hypothetical matchup and ULM would have to get past Georgia Southern and Old Dominion first. But I think this staff, if you ask Coach Builder back, you feel like ULM probably matches up a little better with Marshall than with the 2-seed Troy, with the size and athleticism that Troy has. And I think on the other side of that, Coach McNellis probably feels like her team matches up with Troy a little bit better because of the defensive prowess of Southern Miss. And so, this is a tournament where, again, there's a lot of parity. Anybody can make a run and make it interesting, and you're going to have to play to your strengths, and your strengths are going to have to be really, really good. They're going to have to be better than the other side's strengths, because in this tournament, everybody has them.
All right, Ben, good hearing from you, man. Keep up the good work. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Thanks for that update on the tournament.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Talk to you all soon.
All right, Ben Milam, everybody. Great friend of ours and doing really well for himself. We're happy. All right, we're going to rehash that game last night. Luke and I bore witness to that, and we'll talk about that a little more next.
Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank Travis Creel and Ben Milam for joining us first half of the show. That was fun. Enjoyed listening and talking to Ben. He's a great young man and really happy for him to have that job that he's gotten at Louisiana Monroe. Campus Bookmart sponsored that segment of the program. Great place to buy all your Southern, well, it's the only place to buy your Southern Miss swag. On Hardy Street, right across from the campus, Miss Kathleen is our favorite. Tell her the guys from the Eagle Hour said hello, and buy your swag at Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. I guarantee you all the games against Louisiana Tech will be on. Scott Berry informed me the other day at practice that is actually Louisiana Technical School. And he says that every time he can, he refers to that, to Lane Burroughs, as how are things at the technical school. And he said Coach Burroughs don't like that.
Kind of like South Al, right? Doesn't like that.
Correct, yeah. Right. So Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road. And coming soon, the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And I should point out, I believe they're going to have special hamburger sliders this weekend at 4th Street Bar and Grill for the ball game.
How appropriate sliders be given out at a baseball game, right?
Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast can be heard anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Luke and I were in Jackson last night, and putting aside the nuclear meltdown on the internet, Luke, your observations of where the baseball team is after the midweek game last night?
About where they were last year, 365 days. I mean, if there's no rain delay last night, I think we win that game. That rain delay, we lost a little momentum. We had, what, one or two base runners?
Right.
After that, State regrouped. I thought Cole Boswell pitched well. You are a Braden Luke double and a Dakota Jordan home run reverse away from the Eagles winning that one. I mean, it's two good baseball teams, 2-8-4 teams. We jumped on them early, and they came back. That's baseball. There was a rain delay in the middle, which is baseball. And we had opportunities late. Please, please, please quit trying to consume college baseball like college football. There's a reason why there's 55, 56 games in a season.
Correct.
And last night you tippy cap to the Bulldogs, and they made one more hit than us. They made a few defensive plays than us. Thought our guys battled well. Billy Butler hit a nuke. We came out swinging hard. Monastir, Pato, and I mentioned Braden Luke all hit balls that probably would drop in other scenarios. And we only left three people on base last night, guys. And I know later in the game you have to get people on base. I get all that. But when more times than not we had opportunities, we made it happen.
As I thought to myself driving home last night, well, now we live in two different worlds, the Mississippi State. They're going to go live in their world. We're going to live in ours. Put this one on the shelf and get ready for 12-0 Louisiana Tech. A couple observations I had I wanted to make. And get your thoughts, Luke, since you were there. Of course, the news is the Braves are leaving. The Mississippi Braves are leaving. I was a little taken back at I don't know, it sort of seemed to me the park was a little run down. The scoreboard wasn't working. When it was working, they were having trouble keeping up with the current stats. They had such a small grounds crew that, thank God, some of our players, including Billy Odom, now that worried me a little bit. Our Saturday starters out pulling a wet tarp across the field. Our kids went out and actually helped tarp the field. And, you know, and then a lot of people talk about the attendance. But, Luke, you know, you and I are fortunate being in the media. We, in all honesty, we don't have to pay to get in those things. But, my goodness, the ticket prices are high. I don't know. It just didn't seem like a terribly welcoming environment, and I think I can kind of understand why attendance was relatively low last night, and the weather, of course.
Yeah, the one thing that concerned me was the scoreboard situation, and it is when the PA announcer is having to give you the count, the batter and the pitcher, who in their head, though, even at, you know, I used to play baseball, and there was plenty of times you forgot the count. I was a catcher, even the umpire behind me. So that was pretty troubling. There are a few things that need to happen for a baseball game to happen. Last year at this same park, we didn't have grass, or we didn't have trustworthy grass. That is vital to a baseball game. You have to have baseball. You have to have a bat. Thankful, a glove. We didn't have that issue last night. But scoreboard for the fan experience. So what was frustrating to me was you pay between $40 and $55 a ticket.
Yeah,
or
crazy.
You know, the berm price was what, 20 to 25, and the fans pay for that, and they don't even know who's batting. There was a Mississippi State player that was up, and Lawson Odom's name was still up there, so you had a Mississippi State player, and then you had Lawson's name beside it. And you know, if you're gonna host that, and I think Biloxi pulled that off, what, 1 week earlier with no issue, Southern Miss is going to be back in that same ballpark in 2 weeks playing Ole Miss. And I think the crowd last night, I think the possibility of rain hurt the crowd. I think the price hurt the crowd. But this year, it was on ESPN Plus because Southern Miss was technically the home team. I think that hurt the crowd as well.
Well, that's a good point, and it could. And then, unfortunately, you know, we watch the weather all day, and they say that afternoon everything's going to clear out, and what happens, you know, we're getting the fourth inning, and it really started raining hard and delayed it for an hour on a Tuesday night. Just all in all, is it fair to say, Luke, let's put that one in the shelf and let's go play Louisiana Tech?
I mean, that's in some ways, that's not one you shelf. If you're a fan, you shelf it. But if you're a player, I mean, you know, Oz last night just talking about, you know, it's a mindset of being able to get across the finish line and win. I think you heard that from Coach Krill earlier. It's just, it's very frustrating to see a fan base not understand. This is a strong word. I get this. But this is not every fan. It's probably a very, very, very vocal minority. They don't understand the game that they're watching. And what I mean by that is, baseball is completely different. It is completely different. I'm not here to lecture anybody. I'm not here to come at you, bro, or anything like that. But you cannot watch baseball like you watch other sports. You can out hit the other team all night in what I mean out hit in laser line drives, towering fly balls, and they can get a bunt that scores one run that loses you the baseball game. And so It doesn't help to whine the next day when you lost by one run late in the game. And I thought Cole Boswell pitched a dandy of the beginning of a game last night. Score four, you get a four spot to start the game. It's Mississippi State. Man, it's baseball. So yes, move on and face Louisiana Tech. But there's nothing you have to hang your head in last night, you know, losing by one run late in the game to anybody.
No, that's right. And Mississippi State is Mississippi State. They may not be the Mississippi State of 10 years ago, but they're, what, 2 years removed from a national championship, 3 years maybe?
Yeah.
So they are Mississippi State.
Well, Sander, as an avid Eagle poster, you're not offended by my little diatribe,
are you? Not at all. But I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to take the teams out of it. If I'm promoting an event and I'm going to charge that kind of money, which you can say what you want, but the average Mississippian...
That's a lot of money for a college baseball.
That sure doggone is. And if you're going to take your kids and you got to park, you probably have to have some dinner before or afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm going to host an event and my name is going to be associated with it as the promoter, I want everything done right so that I can justify the amount of money that I've charged you to get in.
How about $15 for a lukewarm hamburger and a cup of Coke?
So that's what I'm saying. If I'm going to charge you that kind of money, you're going to get Beyonce at singing the seventh inning stretch or something. I'm just saying.
Bob totally missed the mac and cheese center in the press box.
I did. You know, like an idiot, I went down there and paid all this money for this terrible food, and then Luke texts me and tells me there's barbecue and all kinds of stuff up in the press box. So being a dedicated journalist, I went up and ate again. Does that surprise you, Kelly?
No, you should be glad that I wasn't there because there wouldn't be any left.
By the way, I ran into Hill Denson last night.
Oh, no.
And he asked about you. And people may not know this. Hill and his wife, Judy, are moving to Hattiesburg. And Luke, Hill suggested that once he gets settled in, we could push Sander to the side and he could just become the regular co-host. But
wow.
then he said, but then we wouldn't have those hard-hitting questions like, Coach, do you think two super regionals in a row will help recruiting? He said that could only come from Sam.
Well, let me tell you what was cool last night. So just being in the press box and seeing people and all that, and you know Jay Powell's up there. But I walk, you know, pass by one box, and Ron Polk's in there talking to John Cox. That was pretty cool. But I was hanging with Dima Mixon from Student Prince and Fourth Avenue Sports. I got to introduce him to Jim Ellis last night,
mm-hmm.
which was really cool. I mean,
yeah.
You got a student journalist who covers Southern Miss, and you have the legendary voice of Mississippi State baseball.
Jim Ellis.
Been doing it for, and Jim Ellis is one of the nicest dudes ever.
No question.
And Jim took a moment and really, you know, and it was just cool to see those generations of journalism meet together for the first time.
Jim Ellis and Ron Polk on a broadcast team. That ain't bad. That ain't bad.
But I just wanted to, again, to our listeners, this had nothing, the poor accommodations last night had nothing to do with either teams. The promoters, you need to do a better job.
Agreed. We'll wrap up the Eagle Hour right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This final segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by D1 Training. Of course, the rain yesterday doesn't affect business as usual at D1. That's a good thing about D1 is it's not, nothing is predicated on the weather. It's always sunny, clean, and always have the top line professionalism, not only in the expertise of the trainers, but the top-notch equipment in there as well to get your softball and baseball kids ready for opening day, which is coming up here toward the end of March. Let's get you up to date now on other things. Women's softball, the Lady Eagles with an 8-9 record, are headed to Hammond, Louisiana for a 6 o'clock game tonight. That'll be available on ESPN+. Lady Eagles softball at Southeastern in Hammond. Updating the women's basketball tournament in Pensacola, the Sun Belt tournament. App State, the ninth seed, has gone final, defeating the eighth seed, Georgia State, 73-68. Next game on the schedule today will be the fifth seed, Louisiana Monroe, against Georgia Southern. And the winner of that game will advance to play Old Dominion tomorrow. ODU, the four seed, got a double bye. Then scheduled for a 5 o'clock start, but of course, depending on how the earlier games go, our Lady Eagles, the sixth seed, will play Coastal Carolina. That's scheduled for a 5 o'clock start. The final game in the women's tournament tonight has the seventh seed, Louisiana Cajuns, going up against Arkansas State, the 10th seed. That is slated for 7:30. The Lady Eagles or Coastal Carolina, the winner of that game, will advance to a 5 o'clock game tomorrow against the number 3 seed, James Madison. And on the men's side, there's already been some action, the play-in games. Yesterday, Coastal Carolina eliminated ULM, so the Warhawks are out. Coastal has advanced to play tomorrow against Louisiana. And the other play-in game featured Texas State and Old Dominion. That was important for Southern Miss fans because the Eagles play the winner of that game, which turned out to be Texas State. So the Eagles men will play tomorrow. The Eagle men's basketball team will play tomorrow at 5 against Texas State on the lower part of that bracket. And, Luke, I hate that because Texas State, home and away, gave the Eagles fits this year in men's play.
Yeah, it's just a different pace of play. And so it'll be, I mean, it'll be, should be a fast game.
Worse.
We'll see.
Could be worse.
we could
you
have
know
to,
what I'm saying.
We could play the only team that swept the Eagles in men's basketball this year. Who could that be? The same team that gives us
he
fits
who and, shall not be named.
Right.
It'd be like playing Louisiana Lafayette and softball. It's just not something you want to have to do.
But you know, Joy Lee McNellis earlier this week said if she could pick, which I was surprised that she answered the question, Bob. Bravo for asking it.
Yeah.
But she said that she would have rather played South Al, but she's got Coastal. So
yeah. Coastal can really shoot threes, and that, I think that's what concerns her a lot. Yeah.
And of course, nobody's going anywhere unless you win this tournament. Right? Yeah. On the men or women's side. And your heart really has to kind of go out to Marshall on the women's side, because they're the prohibitive favorite. But if they slip up and lose,
You don't think they'd get in?
No.
They probably wouldn't, would they?
No.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and the same thing, you know, on the men's side, you know, all year long.
Now, we're hearing rumors that Coach Ladner's going to coach the team tomorrow. Have either one of you guys heard any more about that?
I have not.
I haven't.
But on the men's side, of course, App State, you know, had a great year and is the number one seed. Not as prohibitive as Marshall on the women's side, but you really have to. And the Eagles were in that situation last year. Remember, Southern Miss was the number one seed and got knocked out in the first round.
Hey, and real quick, what are your thoughts, guys, about Louisiana Tech being 12-0? And so when the Golden Eagles roll in there Friday night, Louisiana Tech, I think they play tonight, but likely to be undefeated. How crazy do you think that place will be?
The Love Shack.
The Love Shack.
Right.
Ain't going to be a lot of love, I don't think, in the air. But
a lot of respect.
I think there's a lot of mutual respect for sure, yeah. That'll be a great series to watch.
And when, you know, Tech wanted to get back into the Sun Belt, you know, I really kind of felt bad because they really got
– I kind of liked to have seen them back myself.
Me too. They kind of got lost in that shuffle. But part of it, you talk to Sun Belt faithful, and they'll say part of that Tech brought on themselves.
Yeah, no question. Hey, look, I got a quick question for you before we run out of time. Tech is in Conference USA. Will the games be on ESPN Plus, or dare I say it, will we have to drag up Conference USA TV?
Or is it Stadium or Vinny's cell phone or what?
Vinny's
on SouthernMiss.com. The only option is the Southern Miss Radio Sports.
That's what I had
network.
A feeling. That it's
so,
not
but it could be on Stadium. It could be on Facebook. It could be on
Vinny's cell phone.
Or what was the one at Middle Tennessee? It was the Ferris wheel sky cam.
That was great. That was just awesome.
You're not going to believe this. So Louisiana Tech is playing Xavier tonight. Guess who Xavier beat earlier in the year?
Mount St. Mary's.
Yes. Just kidding. I wanted the reaction. I wanted the reaction, and we apologize
to Mount St. Mary's.
That's
no kidding.
For this entire
They're not listening. They're way up north.
To the Fighting Padres, please accept my apology.
The Mountaineers, Bob. How many times have we gone over this?
No, but Louisiana Tech beat Xavier last night 11-3. Got them again tonight at 6. It looks like there is a it was on the Louisiana Tech Athletics app last night, so maybe that's where we'll go this weekend.
Unbelievable. Thank God for the Sun Belt. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.